music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We welcome to the show the very talented comedian Margaret Cho, talking about her latest act called There's No I in Team, But There Is a Cho in Psycho. Margaret also chats about how important Robin Williams has been to her in her life and who makes her laugh. Marina and the Diamonds drops by talking about her latest album, Fruit, which music she's been listening to lately, and why UK artists are doing so well on the charts. We wrap things up with goth rock group Bloody Diamonds and their latest song, Skin and Bones.
This is so exciting for me because she makes me laugh so much I have back pain. We are so happy to have Margaret Cho with us.
Hi.
I love when I can laugh so much to you that I actually have back pain and can't breathe.
It's good pain.
Okay. Good.
One of the first questions I have for you is, who makes you laugh, Margaret?
Oh, well, I love Gilbert Gottfried. Okay. I absolutely love Bill Burr. I have really enjoyed seeing so many people here. I love Reggie Watts. Okay. I love Dave Chappelle. He's one of my absolute favorites. There's so many, you know, it's just an incredible, kind of just wonderful people here, you know, that this is like kind of the epicenter of where everybody is. I can't believe I didn't get to see Wanda Sykes.
Right.
She's really tremendous and so important and so, somebody that I just die laughing. I guess she would be my favorite of all. And then, of course, the people that I miss, like Robin Williams and, of course, Joan Rivers. So that there's so many comedians that, you know, have made me just scream laughing, and I'm just glad to be here so that I can see some of it.
Yay. Now, you wear so many hats. You're actress, comedian, writer. Is there any other job you could do that, you know, that would fulfill you as much as those three things?
I don't know. I think I really like, I love animals, so I would love to do something for animals. I went to a pet psychic once, and then the pet psychic told me that my dog didn't really understand that I was a comedian. He thought I was a singer. So he was really proud, and he would watch me on television, and he thought my mom is a singer because my voice sounded like I was singing.
Right.
So I would like to be a dog singer.
That's fantastic. When you are preparing to put a new show together, like the one that we've got going on now, There's No I in Team, But There Is a Cho in Psycho.
Yes.
How long does it take you? Is it like sort of like years to put it kind of together, or does it come together quickly?
It comes together pretty quickly. I mean, it sort of depends. You have your material that you sort of build up over time, and then you sort of get the framework of it and you kind of figure it out. So it's always growing. I mean, every show really is different. You know, every show is its own kind of living creature, because stand-up comedy, what is the most exciting part about the art form is that it is alive. So it's always a new thing. It's always a new show every day.
Now, I feel like you could actually probably live in Canada and be happy, because I feel like maybe some of the crazy that happens in the States would make you want to come here, but then I feel like you'd be bored and you'd need to go back.
Well, I love Canada, and I love how Canada deals with the crazy. Like, you know, I loved how Canada dealt with John Gomeshi, which was actually pretty devastating for me because I was a fan, and I feel really betrayed and angry, and I respect Lucy de Kater and Reva Seth. And somebody else who came forward, Billy Bob Thornton, came forward as a third victim. And that is such a good Canadian joke,
it's
a good one.
But
it's just that they really dealt with it. In America, we are still 50 victims of Bill Cosby have come forward, and nothing has happened with him.
Now, I don't know if you've been across Canada, but obviously you come to Montreal quite a bit to come to Just for Laughs. What does Montreal mean to you?
Montreal for me is it's Europe without the Atlantic. You know, you really are treated to this beautiful place that is just a world city. It is a Rufus Wainwright. It is beautiful people, beautiful streets and architecture, wonderful food. It is the best. It's poutine. It's this festival. It's lots of great things.
When I say the names Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, what does that make you feel?
Oh, I love them. And, you know, they're so supportive and just really helping women in comedy, and certainly a great asset to me. we all just got nominated for an Emmy for the Golden Globes, which I think I'm nominated, but I because I was part of the show, and quite a large part of the show, but I was not, they were trying to make it a secret for me, because they knew that they would have gotten censored before, because it was quite a little bit dangerous what we were doing. So I think, but I think I'm nominated. I believe I'm going to be somebody's plus one. We'll see. We'll figure it out.
Maybe Seth Meyers. I saw that the other night.
Oh yes, Seth Meyers offered a plus one, but I'm kind of hoping Tina will be.
I think she should. I think she should. Now, did you love doing that performance? Because, and did you expect the flack? Because you did get a bit of flack for being that North Korean general, which I think most of us thought was hysterical.
Thank you. Well, yeah, but it's odd to me because, you know, North Korea is. I am North Korean. I mean, Korea was one country. I have endured over 65 years of being separated from my people. You know, the country was one country, and then it was split by this totalitarian regime. It's insane. They have abused human rights in so many ways. It is so awful. So the only weapon I have is comedy. Mm-hmm. So when people say to me, you know, how dare you portray a Korean? It's weird because I'm Korean, so I'm not sure what I'm supposed to, I don't know what to do.
Does your mom love being in your act still? Because I've seen several of your shows, and I die every time. Every time you become your mother, it's, do you know that that's going to get everybody? Like, everybody just goes as soon as you do that.
It's fun. She loves it, too. She's very fond of it, and she always wants to be part of it, and right now she's obsessed with the kefir. You know, the yogurt kefir, she's like, then you do the you know, it come out, you eat it, and then digest, and then it come out like banana. So that's, she's very into probiotic.
Do you hang out with her as much as you can to get more fodder?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, she is such a genius and so funny, and she's actually fluent in French, too.
No, really?
Yes. So I need to figure out how to do French in her accent, so we'll see. That would be a big hit.
Please. Next time you come up, that's got to happen.
Yeah.
You did mention Robin Williams and Joan Rivers, and I just wanted to ask you, I did find out about your hashtag Be Robin. Can you just briefly explain what that means to you?
Oh, well, when he died, I wanted to remember him by recreating part of his life's legacy, which was to help the homeless and also to street perform. That was what he did a long time ago, mm-hmm. before Mark and Mindy. So it was a homeless outreach where I would go and people would bring food and clothes and money, and homeless people would come and take it. And we would do these big crazy shows out on the street. And we did it for 2 months in San Francisco. And I think it really helped the city. A lot of buildings were opened up during a big winter storm for homeless people to live. It was sort of alerting the city government that we needed to take care of our people there. And so, you know, it was a way to deal with my grief, mm-hmm. and also to honor really a tremendous man.
Please never stop what you're doing, because you bring so much joy to so many people. So thank you for what you do, because I appreciate it, and I know that all of our listeners do as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is the amazing Margaret Cho.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Twitter at @KAlexanderShow.
So happy to welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show, Marina and the Diamonds.
Hello.
So we spoke a couple of years ago when you were in Montreal, and you're back again. And I wanted to ask you first off, from your first album to now, how much do you think you've grown as an artist? Like, do you feel like you're at 180 from where you were with the first album?
100%. Almost 360.
Really, eh?
I feel like, sorry, my sunglasses just fell off. I feel like I've definitely figured a lot of things out. I feel very comfortable now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like artistry-wise as well, I feel much more fully realized.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel, because we talked about this a little bit when we talked a couple of years ago about your background and being from Wales. Mm. Do you find that still plays a part in when you write your music, like just where you're from? Because I know you travel so much. You're probably not even home very much.
No. Not Wales per se, but the Greek side, I think, because my dad played a lot of Greek music when I was growing up, is really rich melodically. So I'm sure that would have had some kind of effect on me.
Okay. Who are you listening to now, like when you're just listening to stuff? Who makes you happy?
I like Broods.
Okay.
I like a band called Wolf Alice. A girl called Emily Nicholas. I think she's a Swedish artist. Who else do I like? Yeah, that's about it at the moment.
That's who you're listening to? Do you have a favorite song that you perform that you know you're going to perform it till the day you die and you're fine with it?
Ooh, interesting question. Happy, probably?
Nice.
Yeah, I would be happy playing that till the day I die.
That's very good. Now, talk to us about the album. You know, where did the inspiration come from this time around? Is it thematic or is it like just sort of a collection of different
songs?
No,
there are lots of different themes. Yeah, I think it's more just a way to... I see albums as just a way to document chapters of your life. So that's definitely how I see Fruit. I mean, there are really kind of specific themes on there, but they're probably too many to sum up in one sentence.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, if someone is to go to Wikipedia and read a description of you, it says that you are a singer-songwriter. Do you like that title, or how would you describe it? You're good with that?
Yeah, okay. I guess I am as well, because I'm not really... I don't really identify with the like, pop star thing, even though I'm sure that's how I'm known sometimes.
Well, you have amazing style, though.
Well, that's the thing, and so people... It's good to be pop cultural, you know, it's fun. I'm always interested in that, but... Yeah, I mean, I am. Songwriting is like the number one for me, and then singing comes second.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a way or a formula of how you write your songs, or is it always different? Like, because I know some people, like, they can't write when they're on the road. They might get ideas, but they cannot write when they're on the road.
I collect lyrics for quite a long time, actually, like 6 months maybe.
Okay.
But I write on the road as well, so it doesn't really have any bearing on me.
Now, talk to us about being on the road, because I've looked at your tour schedule. It's crazy. You're all over the place. You've been doing a bunch of festivals. You're here in Montreal doing Oshaga. Mm-hmm. What is it about music festivals that you like? Because obviously you keep doing them.
Many things. I don't know. There's just a different atmosphere and different energy to doing your own gigs in venues. Mm-hmm. So in venues, it's like much more concentrated and also much more controlled in a good way, because you have your set design, and your concept. But with festivals, it's much more carefree, and I don't know. I enjoy being around other bands, to be honest.
That's awesome. Who have you seen, you know, at a festival lately that's like, wow, that's my jam. Like, I'm really happy that I was able to see that person perform. And who would you want us to know about?
Actually, I might be a bit biased, but I saw Tove Lo at Boston Calling, and I am friends with her, so that's why it's biased. But I really enjoyed seeing her, because I saw her a year before in like this tiny club in London when I first met her.
Okay.
Before she blew up, and yeah, it was nice to see her voice sounding amazing, and also just seeing her perform to like a big crowd. So
what's your take on the influx, it feels like, of UK acts? Like, you guys for the last couple of years are doing amazing. Like, it's just amazing. Like, you know, Adele.
Yeah, it's continuous.
Yeah,
it's
it just like keeps going.
It's like since Amy Winehouse, basically.
And it's just, and you know, like, for, you know, Adele was doing ridiculously well, then Sam Smith, Ed Sheeran.
It's like 10 years, actually. Yeah.
Like, do you have an idea why we love you so much over in North America? Is it your accent?
No idea. Very good music, for some reason, comes out of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Could be the language thing, though, as well. Makes us easily accessible. But, yeah, I'm not really sure. Very grateful, though.
Well, I'm happy to have you guys over here. I think you're amazing. And you have to talk to us about your style, because you are so cool. I wish everyone was cool. I love your boot, your shoes. She's wearing, I'm going to describe them,
they're
these
ridiculous
pink platforms. And I would kill myself if I wore them. But where do you get your style? Like, do you just sort of feel it, like, that you're going to do these things?
Yeah, like this morning, I took me literally 2 minutes to pull it out.
Wow. That's amazing.
But what you do is you carry whole outfits with you. So you might just have 3 outfits, so you don't have to think about the top and bottom.
That's smart. Yeah. Now, talk to us about performing on Good Morning America earlier this year, because I saw you and I was so proud of you. Like, because we had spoken a couple years ago, and then all of a sudden to see you on this national program in the States, which is like the number one morning show. What was it like to be there and to do that?
It was very special. And it was one of my first nice TV performances, because for some reason on Fruit, I felt a lot more relaxed and confident, so I don't have the same nerves anymore.
Okay.
Whereas on previous albums, I hated TV performances. They were almost always bad for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just not great, you know, very average. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Good Morning America was It felt very exciting. My record was out that day, and amazing. It actually charted that day.
That's so great.
So, it was cool.
Before I let you go, you know, you've always been so gracious to me. This is our second time speaking, and anytime I see you do interviews, you're always so gracious and relaxed, and you seem happy to do them. And I find a lot of artists these days don't want to do interviews. Mm. What is it about you that enjoys talking to people like me?
Actually, it's because I don't do a lot. So okay. When I do it, I'm not like frazzled and burned down, can't be asked to speak to anyone anymore. Because okay. I do actually, I just... from a human level, I like talking to people.
Okay.
So I think you just pick and choose what you want to do. And you just say no to stuff you don't want to do.
Well, I hope you'll always talk to me. I hope
yes,
so.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. Marina, thank you so much
thank
for your
you.
Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
That is Marina and the Diamonds. And again, you can check her out. She'll be in Montreal at Metropolis on November the 3rd.
Hey, this is Marina and the Diamonds, and I'm hanging out on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Give me, give me, give me.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
We're excited to welcome a new and upcoming band here on the Kelly Alexander Show that is going to be making lots of noise, not only in Canada, but for sure around the world. We're joined by lead singer Kyle McKerney of The New Electric. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kelly.
So I want to obviously get into what the band is about, but I wanted to know, you know, sort of starting things off, how did you actually get your start in a career in music?
Well, I started very young. My dad grew up playing as well, and his parents, so my grandparents, that's what they did for a living. They were full-time musicians and, you know, played in the bars around where I grew up in Fort St. John. And my brother is the bass player in the band, and we grew up playing in bands our whole lives, pretty much.
And how did the band actually come together? Like, I know you mentioned your brother's in the band, but how did the New Electric actually come together?
Yeah, Indy and I, that's my brother, we started searching for, you know, for the right guys for a rock band that we were putting together. And, you know, it was hard to find people. We couldn't find anybody in Calgary. And a producer that we were working with knew of Daz, our guitar player, and kind of hooked us up with him. We hung out a few times and, you know, saw him play. He was playing with Fifi Dobson at the time, went and saw him at the Stampede and stuff, and hung out some more, and just worked. When it's the right person, you just kind of know, you can tell. And so, you know, Daz joined the band, and I met James, our keyboard player, when I was attending Musicians Institute in Los Angeles. So I took vocals down there, and I met James, and we were just like a lot alike, you know, same kind of similar vibe, it worked with him right away. We've been, you know, he's been with us for like 6 years, and then the drummer Chris came from Daz. Like, Daz and Chris had played in previous bands before. Chris came out as a fill-in one time. We were doing a tour and opening for My Darkest Days, and Chris came out, and yeah, he was so great that we just had to have him.
That's awesome. Now, you have to explain to our listeners, you know, how you would describe the band, because I know you've been described as sort of, you know, having some vibes of like a Maroon 5 and Imagine Dragons. How do you describe what the New Electric is all about?
I would say it's more a mix of those two. We're a pop alt rock band. I guess when we play live, it's more of a rock looking show, you know, more pop rock looking, you know, we perform, you know, like a rock band performs, sort of. It's just our nature. It's just, you know, where we come from. The sound of the band, you know, it is poppy, and it is, you know, commercial and radio friendly. And we love that. Like, we all grew up on that stuff, like on the Beatles. And, I grew up listening to the radio, the Top 40, and it covered all those songs my whole life. So, you know, that's what I know and love. And, that's pretty much what it is. We're a pop alt band, a twist, you know, just a hint of alt and rock is mm-hmm. what I would describe it as.
And do you find that your environment, like your location, you know, being from out west, Calgary, has that played into how you guys are as a band? Like, because, you know, I've been fortunate to interview a lot of artists across the country, and they usually say, whether they're from Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver, that, you know, their home or some part of it plays into their sound. Do you find that the Alberta vibe is in your bones?
I think so, for sure. Yeah, there's certain aspects of it. I mean, we're originally from Fort St. John, BC, right?
Okay.
So, you know, that's a lot like Calgary, though. Like, mm-hmm. they're both kind of oil towns, and, you know, that's where we're from. I guess it does influence it. Like, growing up in a small town like Fort St. John, you know, we didn't really have access to a lot of music in the store, mm-hmm. and, you know, hence the radio so much, you know, that's all we listened to basically. And we only had, you know, CKNL AM radio, and then the one pop station. So we listened to that all the time, basically.
Now, I know you've had some time spent in Los Angeles. Is there a pull towards, you know, moving maybe to LA full time, or do you like where you're building your base now?
I love Los Angeles. I love LA. I love Toronto a lot, and Vancouver too. You know, we're in Calgary because our wives have great jobs here, and you know, someone has to, you know, pay the bills. it's sad to say, but it's very true. And so you know, that's why we're here. I would definitely move to, you know, LA in a heartbeat if the opportunity came. I love it there, you know, and that's why I have a hard time kind of, like, you know, with your last question, connecting the music with Calgary, because it's not really like that. Like everything we've written, everything we've recorded, everything we've done has kind of been outside of here, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we draw a lot more from the LA vibe or the Toronto vibe.
Okay. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you find the Canadian music scene? Because we have a lot of listeners that are, you know, listening from Canada, but also in other parts of the world, Australia, Japan, England. How would you describe the Canadian scene? And as the band is growing, are you making a lot of friends with other bands and sort of having like a healthy competition, but a friendship as well?
Yeah, we definitely are. I love it here. Canada, you know, Canada's great, and there's lots of good bands here. We were just at Canadian Music Week a few months ago, and that's a really cool time because there's bands from all over, you know. The Lazies were there from Australia, and Billy Talent was there, and, you know, we were hanging out with all those guys, and Headley, we're friends with some of the members of Headley, and, you know, I never feel like we're competing at all, really. It's kind of out of your hands, and it's up to all the people behind the scenes in the industry at that point. So you just, you know, kind of let them do their thing and then hang out with your buddies.
That's awesome. Now, Speak to us about the new single, Life's What You Make It. Where did the vibe come from the song, and was it a difficult choice to choose that as your first single?
Right, yeah. So Life's What You Make It, it was a quick write. Like, I wrote that song with Brian Howes, our producer, that we worked with on this EP, and it was a super fast write. We wrote it in LA. We were sitting outside, like, you know, in the sunshine on his deck, and you know, his pool is there, and there's palm trees, and his kids were playing in the yard, and you know, it was just a vibe, and it was so quick, and that song's kind of, you know, happy and uplifting and positive and kind of bouncy summertime feel, you know. And it just made sense to put that song out, like, because of the timing, because it is summertime now, and when you listen to our EP, you know, front to back, this song really stands out as, like, you know, the summertime sunshine kind of vibe. And we wrote the song because we were just realizing, you know, and we knew this, but it was just starting to really happen where, you know, we were getting out and doing things on our own, and we were making amazing things happen that seem impossible, you know, when you're nowhere and you're looking out at other bands going, how did they do that? How did they get there? You know? And you start just like, I'm just going to do it. And then you start doing it, and the results are crazy sometimes, you know? Yeah, that's where Life's What You Make It came from.
And how would you describe the EP? You know, is it a real, like, a focus on a collection of songs, or is it thematic?
It's kind of, I would say, more a focus. It's actually like six separate songs written at different times about different things. There's no overall theme, except, now that I'm thinking about that, there kind of is. I guess the overall theme would be, you know, positivity. There's a lot of, you know, positive, uplifting, lyrical content throughout the whole EP. And you could definitely pick up on that theme if you're, you know, paying attention to it. I never think of it that way, but now that you mention it, that, you know, that does stand out. Each song is, you know, different and kind of great in its own right. I love the songs on this EP, and I'm really stoked about it.
I wanted to ask you about the fact that you are the lead singer of the group. Is there like a certain pressure or an added, you know, focus that you feel that you have on you as the lead singer? Because, for example, if we look at the two groups that we've talked about that you could sort of be compared to, if you will, you know, Maroon 5 with Adam Levine as the frontman, and then Dan from Imagine Dragons, I think a lot of people, you know, if they look at Maroon 5, unless they're like hardcore Maroon 5 fans, they probably don't really know who the other members are. It's always just Adam Levine. Not that he probably feels that way, and I'm sure you don't feel that way as well, but do you feel like you have this added pressure or focus on you because you're the front face, you're the singer of this group?
Yeah, there's definitely an added focus for sure. I mean, you know, you're talking to me right now, you know, and when we're on stage, I'm the one, you know, talking to the people, to the fans and friends, you know, and yeah, people definitely look to me, you know, as the focus, and I love that. I don't have a problem with it, and it doesn't feel, you know, like negative pressure. It feels like a hell of a lot of fun.
Good. Very good.
yeah, totally. And the other guys are cool. They, it's my brother and they all get it. We know our roles, we know our jobs, and we know what we need to do. Each person has their, I want to say, like, you know, an army, but that's kind of a, you know, extreme comparison. It's like
like a sports team. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask you as well about the business side of things, because again, we're fortunate here on the show to speak to a lot of groups that are sort of, you know, climbing the ladder, if you will, and a lot of them, whether they're bands or solo artists, a lot of them, especially in this day and age, the way that the music industry is, they have to take on that role of really being the business person as well as being the creative person. And I know that you guys seem really on the ball with regards to your social media, your website. I know your manager, Jeff, has been amazing to deal with just to sort of book this interview with you. How important is it for you, and how time consuming is it for you to sort of have a hand in that business part, even though I know you guys do have like a management team behind you?
It's surprisingly, unbelievably all encompassing and completely consuming in every way. You're on there. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram and Facebook. I am talking to our fans, talking to our friends, talking to, you know, I always say fans and friends because I think of our fans as our friends. I'm not trying to, you know, separate fans from friends. Anyway, I'm on there all the time. And if you don't do that nowadays, you don't stand out and you don't have the opportunity to, you know, to do as well as you could be doing. It's unbelievable. You know, that's the first thing that every label, that every manager, everyone looks at. You know, you call them up, you're like, hey, I'm really, really good, you should check me out. Yeah, what are your Twitter stats? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they say. You know, how many followers do you have? How many Instagram followers do you have? It's the most important thing, almost. It really is.
Wow.
Yeah, and it takes up most of my time. So for example, you know, we're on a radio tour right now, and we just did Lethbridge, Red Deer, Edmonton, we're doing Calgary today, right? So you go to like 3 or 4 stations a day, literally get up at 7, go to the first station, you tweet about it before you go there, you go into the station, you get everyone's Twitter handles, you get everyone's Instagram while you're in there, you talk, you get out of the station after you do, you know, your performance and your interview, you go back in the van, you sit there, you know, for 15 minutes tweeting all the people that you just met, and saying thanks to the station for having you on, you know, social media on all platforms, and then you drive to the next station, and it takes up, it's all your time. It's awesome though. It's super fun. It's like, you know, once you get a handle on Twitter, it's like you're making friends. It's just like being social in real life. It feels the same, you know.
Awesome. Well, I'm really glad you shared that, because I think, you know, a lot of people don't really understand just how much work goes into being a musician these days. Like, you can't just sort of think that the record label is going to take care of everything, because it really is hands-on. And if you don't stand out, like you said, you're kind of screwed.
No, you're totally right. And that's what I wanted to mention too. I forgot about that part of it, is like, if you don't do it, you don't have a chance. And it's like, it's what it is now. Do you know what I mean? It's back in the day, you could, you know, it was all about the mystery and no one had access to anything. And, you know, record labels or whoever could just put out, you know, your picture on a magazine and everyone would be like, oh my God, I gotta know about these guys. I can't find any information. What's, and then it would just create this whole like fantasy and this whole, you know, need. It would create the need for people to buy your records. And, you know, but now, you know, everyone has access to everything. There's, the information is right there. You can punch it in. You're just like, in 5 seconds, you can be almost, you know, done with a band. You know, you can punch them in and look up and you're like, oh, well, they're, you know, they haven't tweeted in like a week or something. And you're like, oh, so they're, you know, and you just kind of write them off.
It's true.
It's true. You know, so it's so changed and it's awesome. I love it.
Now, before I let you go, I wanted to ask if you know, we're going to get a full-length album from you, and what are the plans for you guys within the next, like, 8 months to a year? Like, what does the New Electric want to be achieving?
Right, okay. So, yeah, in the next months here, we're blasting this radio tour. We're going right across Canada. We're doing, you know, stations in, hopefully we're going to make it out to Newfoundland, you know? And right after that, we're doing a video for the single.
Yeah.
And then doing some touring in September, October to support Life's What You Make It. And then depending on, you know, the life of the single, you never know what that's going to be. Mm-hmm. But we'll release another one and yeah, continue on.
Kyle, it is awesome to have you on the show. Thank you so much for spending time with us, and you're welcome back at any time.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me, Kelly. It's been fun.
That is Kyle McKerney, again, lead singer of the New Electric, and you can learn all about them and learn how to follow all of them and all of their social media on their website, thenewelectricmusic.com.
Hey, this is Kyle from the New Electric, and you're hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
I woke up shining, glowing like the sun that's always smiling. Baby, catch my wave.
Make it. the Kelly Alexander Show. Like us on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show.
We're joined on the show by a group that seamlessly seems to marry the genres of goth and rock all into one. Bloody Diamonds are based in Toronto and have just released their latest single, Skin and Bones. We're joined by their lead singer, Sarah Elizabeth. Welcome, Sarah, to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you for having us.
So I wanted to ask you, what's the story behind the name Bloody Diamonds, and how did the band actually come together?
Well, me and the guitar player, Jake, who are the main writers for the band, we met at music school. I was playing an acoustic guitar, just singing my own songs, and Jake was in a punk band, and we both just kind of got together and had what each other was missing. He needed a singer, and I needed someone to write some riffs. And, we ended up making this band together, and all of my songs turned a lot heavier. And, yeah, so we've been just going at it for the past 4 years, and the name just kind of happened. There's nothing really that crazy behind it, why we picked the name.
Now, from what I understand, you guys are based out of Toronto, but you have East Coast roots. Do you think that the maritime background that you have plays into how you are as a band and the sound that you guys produce?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if it has anything to do with the sound, but definitely the way we are as a band. I mean, everyone on the East Coast is so welcoming, and, you know, there's definitely a vibe out here that's very chill. And I think if we had grown up in Toronto and been a band in Toronto, we definitely would have turned out a lot differently with, you know, just how we act as a band. But sound-wise, I don't know, we've both been into the heavy rock kind of thing since we started this band. And there's really not much of heavy rock on the East Coast at all. So that part definitely didn't come from Halifax.
Being in Toronto, do you find that you miss being out East, or do you feel like you're sort of in a groove when you're sort of in the heart of Canada, if we can call it that, with regards to the entertainment scene?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we miss our friends out East, but overall we don't really miss being on the East Coast. Toronto is way more, I don't know, just so much more is happening in Toronto. And for us, our style of music is so much better received in Toronto and Ontario than it is in Halifax. So we love being in Toronto.
Was there a big decision to go to Toronto, like, as opposed to going to Vancouver or Montreal? Because, you know, a lot of people sort of head to those places. Or was Toronto always the goal? Did you know that's where you guys would fit in?
Yeah, Toronto is definitely always the goal. Montreal is really cool, and so is Vancouver. But for us, it took a couple years for us to actually get to Toronto. It wasn't, we couldn't just really pick up and leave, moving halfway across the country, and we're broke band. So it took a while, but Toronto has definitely always been the go-to spot.
Now, you guys have been described as goth-tinged rock. Does that mesh with what you feel that you know you are as a band?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been a very dark element to our music. I don't really know where it came from or why, you know, became that, but it definitely has always been there. We don't really write happy songs or use major chords, and it's just totally what we like and what we'd like to hear is the minor chords, the darker riffs, the distortion, the heaviness, and, you know, dark lyrics. Yeah, it's just totally what we've been going towards the entire time. And we're definitely not goth, but it's definitely dark, so it's a good way to describe it.
Now, I'm always fascinated, especially when I talk to different artists and bands, to find out who they sort of listened to as a kid, to see if that sort of has influenced how they are. Now, you just sort of mentioned that you know your music is very dark, but I'm always interested to know if you like Britney Spears, for example.
Yeah, well, I actually, until I met Jake, I played a lot of country music and pop music. I pretty much grew up on country and like 90s rock, Alanis Morissette and things like that. And I also big into like singer-songwriters. This lady named Patty Griffin, she's kind of a bluesy gospel singer. And most of my songs were kind of poppy and pretty country bluesy until I met Jake, and he took out the electric guitar and made everything sound really heavy. So Jake, a lot of our songs are definitely blues influenced riffs, and you know, Jake grew up on Hendrix and things like that. So he's definitely more of a straightforward, you know, we sound like what Jake listened to, but I was more of a singer-songwriter, country-esque thing.
Joining us on the show is Toronto-based band Bloody Diamonds. Make sure to check out their website, bloodydiamonds.com. Sarah, can you talk to us about your latest single, Skin and Bones? Is it a good indication of what your full-length album is going to turn out to be?
Yeah, for sure. We kind of released it as we thought that was the song that kind of summed up the album. There's still a lot of good songs on there that we're really looking forward to putting out there. But this new album is definitely a step up from all of the rest of our material. So yeah, we were really excited to put it out and everyone seems to dig it. So
with regards to the album, is it sort of like a collection of songs or is there a theme that you want sort of your listeners and new listeners to take away from it?
I don't know if there's a theme. It's just, we spent a lot of time on these songs and I think at this point we have a lot better idea of what we want to sound like. And I feel like these songs are a lot smarter. They're, you know, they get to the point, but they're still very us. And so we just tried to make every song really good. Like, you know, like we thought they were really good and we like listening to them. And yeah, just tried to make them better than all of our other previous material.
From what I understand, you guys have done, you know, your fair share of touring. I know you guys are on the road right now as we speak. What have you learned the most while being on the road across our country of Canada?
Oh, goodness. I don't know if we have time to completely answer that question, but I don't know. Touring has been everything for us. Like, we started touring as soon as we put out our first record, and we pretty much haven't stopped. We've done as much as possible. And it just teaches, I don't know, you get tighter as a band. Playing night after night, you find out, you know, how your music is like received by different audiences, what songs are cooler during your set, what songs people kind of leave and go for a smoke for. You learn about the industry. You know, we book our own tours. We do everything ourselves. And I think that's definitely made us very independent and a lot. We appreciate anything good that happens because we've toured and had some really terrible shows. And, you know, we've been broken down on the side of the road and, you know, playing to two people. And now things are a lot smoother. We play some really great shows and it's just, you know, that experience of going through it all is really good for a band. Really good for a band.
Can you actually write on the road or is it too difficult because of the traveling and just, you know, the logistics, you know, and all of it? Like, or do you sort of stockpile ideas and then write when you get back to Toronto?
Yeah, we don't normally write on the road. There's just not enough time. But sometimes, you know, at any point I could think of a lyric and write it down and then come back to it later. So yeah, we usually try to write when we're not on tour.
Is it important for you guys to break not only in Canada and the US, but to head over to Europe at some point? Because I feel like you guys have a sound that would be well embraced over there.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people have told us that many, many times that, you know, we'd do really well in Europe. And we are definitely, we've been thinking about it for a couple of years now. Just, you know, it's the way's the way, got to get over there. So, but we're definitely hoping to get over there as soon as possible to Europe.
How important is social media to you guys, you know, especially in this day and age where it's not like it was back in the 80s and 90s where you had a big record label behind you and sort of a marketing department and all that stuff? Like, you really sort of have to take it upon your own shoulders.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we don't have a booking agent or a manager or anything. So, you know, the way we get in contact with our fans and the way we keep in touch with them is through social media. So we're on Facebook and Twitter and all those things every day talking to people. And Facebook especially, like, that's how we keep in contact with everyone that we've met at shows, like, all over North America, because, you know, we can't remember everyone's name and, you know, their phone number these days. So, it's super important. And, we like it.
What is the goal or the couple of goals, I guess, for you guys over the next, like, 8 to 12 months? Like, where do you see yourselves and what do you hope for yourselves in the future?
Well, right now we're putting the final touches on the record and then we're going to, our goal is to get the record out next year and tour all of North America for the release. And I don't know, we're still kind of a baby band, independent, but we're looking to step it up and maybe get a label, maybe, I don't know, expand on the business area of our band. Overall, we just want to tour. We just want to put out this album and tour as much as possible and hopefully go to Europe next year.
Fantastic. Sarah, thank you so much for spending time with us and we wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
That is Toronto-based band Bloody Diamonds, and again, lead singer Sarah Elizabeth. Make sure to check out their website, bloodydiamonds.com.
Hey, this is Sarah from Bloody Diamonds, and you're hanging out with the Kelly Alexander Show.
Take all of my money, I don't really even need to eat. I live off of skin and bones, skin and bones, skin and bones.
The Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. We always appreciate your time, and a big thank you going out to Margaret Cho, Marina and the Diamonds, and goth rock group Bloody Diamonds. Here's your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from Lao Tzu: mastering others is strength, mastering yourself is true power. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter at @KAlexanderShow, on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show, on Instagram at @KellyAlexanderShow, and of course our YouTube channel, which features all of our interviews, youtube.com/KellyAlexanderShow. Have an amazing week. You and I will chat soon.